It is great to be here this evening. It's good to see each of you out here tonight. How many of you have discovered something called Spotify? Spotify? A lot of Spotify folks out there. My wife Cindy and I, we've recently discovered Spotify. I love technology. It's such a blessing. We had a wonderful day at Summerdale yesterday. Lots of visitors there. It was a good time. And we left that afternoon after we shopped at the outlet store and got some new shoes for the First Lady for her birthday. We tootled on down to the Grand Hotel. I wanted to spend some time with Cindy at the Grand Hotel, and the rates are cheaper in the wintertime there. And so we checked in, and I want you to know things are really getting better at the Grand Hotel. We got there, and we're trying to decide whether to valet park or not, and looking to see how much it cost. And we hear over the speakers, we hear this music playing there at the drop-off area, and it's Christian a cappella music. And that's interesting because Cindy and I, we've been listening all the way down here. We discovered this nice channel on Spotify where you can get congregational singing, a cappella music, and Harding's Chorus is on there, and other singing groups like Cornerstone and others that sing a cappella music. And we get out of the car there, and I don't know if any of y'all ever been to Windshape over in Rome, Georgia, at Berry College. Chick-fil-A has a retreat there called Windshape, and in the hotel rooms they play Christian music, which is very interesting. So, seeing, I think that's just terrific. And we get our card and we head up toward the room. We get into the lobby, and they're playing it inside there in the lobby as well. And Cindy and I, we look at each other and we remark, this is really neat. And on the way up, going up the steps to the room there in the old part where we like to stay, Cindy and I, we're thinking out loud to one another and we make the comment that, you know, maybe there's a member of the Church of Christ now in the leadership and management of the Grand Hotel because this music is so amazing. We get in our room and guess what? It is playing in our room. And Cindy and I look around trying to find the speaker. She starts unpacking things, and I notice that it's coming from the desk area there, and right above the desk is the air duct. And I thought, surely they're not sending it out the air duct there, you know? And then, lo and behold, I hear a commercial come on. And I said, Cindy, it's the same commercial that they're playing on Spotify, and I think that they must be using Spotify. And she says, that's kind of strange. And so I look again, and on the desk there underneath, it sounds like it's coming right there from the desk. And then I realize Cindy's phone is in her purse, and it's playing Spotify. And we were giving all the credit to the Grand Hotel. Isn't that great? You know, I love technology. You never know where it's going to go. Now, speaking of technology, I love technology. God and technology helped Cindy and I write a book. This is Cross Connections. We've been writing this for about 6 years together. Started off as some research for Sunday school for our teen children. How many of y'all remember flannel graph? Flannel graph? All right. You know, those little cutout Bible characters, and you put them on the flannel board, and you move them around so that they can tell a Bible story. This is flannel graph for college students and adults, okay? And my best friend, Tom Cawthon, he put together some amazing artwork. This is original artwork. Tom's a professional artist for the state of Alabama. Recreated this. It's got wonderful Bible lessons. And the lesson that you hear tonight, there are two parts of this lesson that are part of this book. Cindy and I have already paid for these books. There's a box of them out there. If you would like one of these books, all we ask is that you give $30 to Agape of Central Alabama for Christian adoption and foster care. And there's a little can out there that says Agape. Just put your checks or money in there and take a book. We're going to trust you, okay, that you'll be able to do that. That's the first thing we brought tonight. I hope that you'll pick up one and encourage that. The other thing is this. This is brand new. This is a new piece of promotional material. So if you are a high school student, or if you have high school students or know high school students or have grandchildren that are high school students, we would love for you to pick this up and give it to them. Tomorrow we'll be at Snook Academy doing the chapel there. And by the way, it may have been announced earlier, but Snook lost a 16-year-old young man. He was buried today, and there are a lot of concerns for his family, of course, and for the young people there in the school. But we're going to be at Snook, and we put these items together for Snook, but we've got some extra. And so, Mike Horn, where are you, Mike? There you are, right there in the back. Mike will have some of these out there at the table, and would love for you to take them. On the front side, it's fun facts about Faulkner University. And on the back, it's a list of all the majors for our undergraduate students, and then also some of our popular graduate programs that we have at Faulkner University. So a little bit about Faulkner University real quick. We have a total of about 2,800 students. Now, of those 2,800 students, 650 currently are undergraduate students. We have over 300 law school students in our ABA accredited Jones School of Law. We have around 300 health science graduate students in our College of Health Sciences, and they're studying physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physician assistant studies. And in addition to that, the remaining balance of folks are in our other graduate programs, our MBA program, our Master of Science in Management, our PhD in Humanities, our Bible programs where you can get an ATS certified master's or PhD degree, and also in our adult programs. We have a campus here in Mobile, Alabama. Okay, some of you have probably driven by that campus there. We have a lot of adult students that are completing their degrees there in person or online. So if you or a family member are an adult student, 25 years of age or older, and you have not finished, you can finish at the campus here in Mobile or online through Faulkner Online. We would love to help you finish your degree. And if you're a member of the Church of Christ, guess what? Huge, huge tuition discounts and supplemental financial aid that comes to you. In fact, I'm pleased to announce that in your two Christian schools here in this area, affiliated with the Churches of Christ, Mobile Christian Academy and Snook Christian, the students that come to Faulkner in the fall, that register and apply and meet our academic standards, which we are raising, by the way, okay, if they meet those standards, they will be eligible for a minimum 50% tuition scholarship. That's $11,000 in scholarships if they come from those two schools, graduate, and meet our academic standards. I'm signing the Memorandum of Understanding with Snook Academy tomorrow. The one for Mobile Christian will be signed in a few weeks. We would love for your students to come to our campus. We are serious about Faulkner being connected with our Christian schools. We are serious about there being a continued spiritual awakening in the Churches of Christ. Our school was started more than 80 years ago as a place where young people who believed in Jesus, who were serious about advancing restoration in the Churches of Christ, could come and learn about God and learn an education career and then go out and be ministers in their communities. Brother Terry was sharing with me beforehand that in this brochure, all the speakers that spoke here in this seminar and in the days to come, he circled the ones that were graduates of Faulkner. And folks, most of them were graduates of Faulkner. Isn't that amazing? Faulkner's had such an influence on my family through the years, through the good preaching and the ministry of folks that graduated from Alabama Christian College, Alabama Christian University, and Faulkner University, which it's now known as. So we're so pleased about that. I hope that that information will be helpful to you. I also want to do this before I start preaching tonight, and that's this. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Faulkner launched the Jack Zorn Free Tuition Scholarship to young people who wanted to study and want to study to be ministers, who want to study Bible and study youth or family ministry or pulpit ministry. And as a result of launching that, we have more than 40 young people that are now studying Bible. And this coming fall, we're going to add 15 more to that. And they don't pay a dime in tuition. That's zero tuition. But we put them to work. Okay? There's got to be some skin in the game, right? So those young people that come to Faulkner on the Jack Zorn free tuition scholarship, they have to pass an interview, meet our academic standards, and be a member of the Church of Christ and their elders, and the church has to vouch for them, okay? When they do that, they come on our campus and they work in campus ministry. That means that they're having Bible studies with other students. That means they're assisting our campus minister, Colt Mahana, in his day-to-day ministry, setting up and producing chapel, having their own team, having their own college devotionals that are student-led on our campus, reaching out to those athletes who get injured and make sure that they're taken care of. They work in local churches to learn how to share the gospel. Folks, we put them to work. Their tongues are hanging out on our campus. And I'm so proud of what they do and how they do it. And the goal is for them to work in churches in the summertime, come back in the fall, and when they graduate without a bunch of debt. And so they're able to go and not be saddled by that concern and focus completely on serving people and bringing folks to the Lord. That's what the Jack Zorn Free Tuition Scholarship is about. I say thank you because churches and individuals in this area contributed last year more than $75,000 to the Jack Zorn Free Tuition Scholarship. Last year we had some sweet folks, this couple, they want to remain anonymous, but they pledged up to $130,000 in matching gifts. And so what happened is when we got to the end of the year, we asked churches to give their 53rd Sunday contribution, and individuals came on board. Folks, last year we raised $400,000 to apply toward that free tuition scholarship. And guess what that sweet couple decided to do week before last? They're going to make another $130,000 matching gift challenge now. And so as we approach our end of our fiscal year, which is June the 1st, our goal is to work with individuals and with churches and others to help raise at least $130,000 so that that couple can match it to raise $260,000 before, did I do my math right? No. It's more than that. No, that's right. $260,000. That's why I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician. $260,000 before June 1st is our goal. Now, in addition to that, another sweet donor who wants to remain anonymous has pledged $500,000 as a matching gift challenge for any gift given to Faulkner University before June the 1st of this year. So if you know someone who would be willing to give to Faulkner, if they give $1,000, guess what? It really means it's a $2,000 gift. If they give $10,000, it's really a $20,000 gift. That's how matching gift challenges work. Aren't we blessed with good, sweet, godly folks? And they don't want any credit for it. Isn't that amazing? We're so blessed in so many ways. A couple other things about Faulkner, before I begin here, we are serious about making careers ministries of service to other people. Let me see if I can get this thing to work right. Do I click the big button? Is that how it works, or which one do I do there?
He said 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just keep talking a little bit until that slide gets up. So the first slide says, make your career a ministry. Okay? We're serious about that. Now, how does that work? Well, whether a person is studying law in our ABA-accredited law school, or whether they're studying physical therapy in our College of Health Sciences, or whether they're involved in one of our new degrees, you'll see on here there's some asterisks. This fall, Faulkner University will launch for the first time an engineering program. computer engineering, led by Mike Herridge, who is the former chief computer control design engineer for Cummins Diesel Engines Worldwide. Mike retired early. He moved his family back from Europe, retired early, so that he could teach at a Christian college. And he is at Faulkner University. He built out this computer engineering program that starts in the fall. So in addition to computer science. And by the way, while you're getting your computer science degree or computer engineering degree, young people, you can be on our esports team. That's right. You can get a scholarship at Faulkner University for playing video games. Sweet Donor donated $100,000 to build out a brand new state-of-the-art esports arena. We compete with Mississippi State, with Auburn, and all sorts of other folks that have esports teams, and we've already won one regional championship, okay? So that's a new program for us. In addition to that, we have pre-nursing. The board of directors has also authorized me to add a bachelor's in nursing program, which we hope to have on board in the next 2 years. In addition to that, God has answered prayers. One of my prayers as president, Cindy and I prayed that God would enable us to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus, that God would do that. And he is doing that, and you'll hear he's doing that in amazing ways. The second thing that has happened, the second prayer that has been prayed, is this one. God, send us laborers. So we began praying that prayer this time last year. Well, in June of this year, I got an email from a person named Tommy Lee Washington. Now, some of you may have heard of Tommy Lee Washington. Most of you, if you watch sports, have seen his name and just not paid any attention to it. Because, you see, Tommy Lee Washington is a mid-level executive with ESPN. He sends an email to Dr. Dave Rampersad, our Vice President of Academics, and myself, and says, would you gentlemen be interested in me coming to Faulkner as an instructor and starting a digital media program? So we checked Tommy Lee Washington out to make sure this wasn't a prank or something, and sure enough, Tommy Lee Washington, as it turns out, is the person who invented the bar across the bottom of the screen for ESPN that moves the scores across. Tommy Lee Washington, if you watch the SEC Network and you see the artwork that's there that moves around, all the design for the SEC Network, that's Tommy Lee Washington. And folks, he has retired early from ESPN as of March the 1st. He's already bought a house in Montgomery, Alabama, and he is launching a state-of-the-art media arts, media video graphics arts program at Faulkner University. Not only will it help our students that are interested in sports, sports journalism, and recreational sports, it's going to help our Bible students. Because what do we do now post-pandemic? What are these gentlemen doing and scrambling to do right now? Okay? Y'all need Tommy Lee to come help? I know you got it. It's going to work. Hey, and I've got a thumb drive if you need it. Okay, it's in my pocket. Y'all come get it if you want it. All right. Tommy Lee Washington, thank you for what you're doing, by the way. Tommy Lee Washington came in my office and he said, I just want to know one thing. If I come and teach you, he said, I'm already an adjunct instructor at Arizona State. He said, I can't talk about my faith there. He said, if I come here, are you going to let me talk about faith in the classroom? I said, Brother Washington, if you don't talk about faith in the classroom, you're going to be in trouble. He said, that's what I wanted to hear. He is an elder at the Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina, where ESPN is headquartered. And we're so excited about him coming and being a part of what we do. In addition to that, another program that we have shows that we're serious about education. One of the things that we're serious about with regard to education is adding secondary education to our curriculum so that we can have music education graduates that can teach in junior high and high school, math education, history education, social science education. That will launch this fall as well. We have pre-professional degrees, so pre-physical therapy, pre-occupational therapy, pre-speech and language therapy as well. All right, so We're going to influence education. We're going to influence health. We're going to influence yearly income through our business school. And we're going to influence folks by access to justice. How are we going to do that? Well, we've got a law school that's ABA accredited. And I'm pleased to share with you today that Jones Law School, Faulkner Law in Montgomery, Alabama, is the fastest growing law school in the United States of America, according to the American Bar Association and their December statistics. Do you know why it's growing so fast? And I'm proud of this. A few years ago, our dean started an executive schedule so that people can continue to work and get their law degree. While they work, they come to Montgomery on Friday afternoon and go most of the day on Saturday, and they get their law degree in 4 years. We'll graduate our first cohort this coming fall semester. They'll graduate in May of this year. And then we'll add our fifth cohort this fall semester. I'm so excited about that, but the main reason they're coming is not just because of the executive schedule, but they're coming because this is a Christ-centered law school. I don't know if you pay attention to the news or not, but do you know what happened out in California last year when a federal judge who happens to believe that abortion should be illegal came to a certain law school on the West Coast? Not only was the federal judge shouted down by the law students, but the judge was also shouted down by members of the faculty and administration of the law school. That won't happen at Faulkner University. We are committed to the ethic of Christ, which is the core and the foundation of what we are called to do as members of the bar, and that is to serve and help with access to justice. So I'm pleased with what's going on at Faulkner. Now let's have a Bible lesson. Are you ready? At Faulkner, there's a great awakening going on, and I'm real pleased to share with you that on August the 7th, 35 football players were baptized into Christ. Now, here's how it happened. I got a call at 6:30 after practice. Khalil Pope, one of our coaches, says, President Henry, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, there are 50 law students that want to be baptized. And I said, Khalil, that's not a problem. And so I got in my truck in Pentlala, Alabama, and I drove as fast as I could. Here you go in case they need it. I drove as fast as I could to, without breaking any laws, to Faulkner University, dialing on my cell phone with voice dial in a safe manner. Every gospel preacher or youth minister or college minister that I could get in touch with before I got to campus. And when I got there, the football team was walking across the parking lot to go into the church, and these ministers from all over Montgomery, we all converged at the same time. I spoke with the coach that was leading the Bible devotional that night, Brandon Johnson, and I learned a little bit about what was said, and it was determined that we needed to do a little more teaching. So I stood up, and for about 40 minutes, I shared with these young men the significance of baptism. We looked at Romans 6. We looked at the conversion of the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. We looked at several scriptures to make sure that they had a good understanding. And then I said, all right, now how many of y'all want to be baptized? 40 students stood up. 10 of them wanted to study some more. And we divided those 40 up amongst all the ministers there in the University Church Sanctuary. And for the next 30 minutes, there were additional Bible studies. There were prayers being said. There were questions being asked, questions being answered. And at the end of that, we said, all right, who wants to be baptized? And there were 35 young men that wanted to be baptized. And they were baptized that night. I called Mike Eubanks the next day, and I told him what happened. I said, Brother Mike, I want you to know, that was some dirty water when they got through. I know some of those players. I think God has a sense of humor. because when I was asked to be president, I can't tell you how many people, when I talked to them before I took the oath and started, they told me, Mitch, you got to do something about football at Faulkner. They don't think like us. They don't understand our culture. It's changing things. They don't act right. You need to kill football. And God took football and accomplished through it the most significant spiritual event in the history of the university. Is that cool or what? And since that time, folks, we have baptized last semester 57 young people. 57. Our SGA president was baptized a week after the football team. Our band captains, a number of students in our other sports programs, some students that have no sports or other affiliation whatsoever, they're coming to the Lord in droves. It's a powerful, wonderful thing that's happening. And I want y'all to know, it's not gimmicks. It's not special music. It's not entertainment. It's not anything other than the pure and simple gospel of Jesus Christ that is affecting young people because they're spiritually hungry. And God help us if we think that it takes some kind of gimmick to get things done when it comes to the gospel of Jesus, because it's that core gospel that makes a difference in the lives of young people. I believe that they're spiritually hungry because we've come out of this pandemic when we've been so separated from one another. I believe this generation has been faced with more death and mortality than any other generation since World War II. They've watched the statistics on the TV. They've watched on their apps, on their cell phone, their news apps. They've seen how many people have died. And so death and mortality is more of a reality for this generation than any other. And because of that, folks, I believe this may be the greatest generation that we've seen in America. And some of you may be thinking, you're nuts. This generation wants to change their gender. This generation, they're lost. They don't have any common sense. They're wanting to push environmental issues. They're wanting to push this issue, that issue, or the other issue. They don't have any connection with Jesus. I want you to know they are hungry and they are searching for the gospel. When we started in the fall semester, we had around 700 students. A number of them graduated by the end of the semester. Only about 40% of our students had any affiliation with the Churches of Christ. But by the end of the semester, God increased our percentage with 57 students, didn't he? You do the math, it's impressive. And already this semester, guess what? We baptized 4 already. One of those is not a student. She is a nice lady who works as a part of our custodial crew with National, an outside vendor. Her job was to be in charge of the crew that set up the chairs before chapel in the gym and took the chairs down after chapel. And so last semester, guess what she did in between setting up and taking down the chairs? She listened to chapel. And 4 chapels into this semester, when we were just singing and reading scripture, she came and she told Colt Mahana, I want to be baptized into Christ. Now, she had a background in Catholic church. She rarely, if ever, went to church. But she got baptized on Saturday, and the next day Nancy Itzen took her to the University Church of Christ, and she took communion for the first time when it was not a Catholic Mass. God is working, folks. I preach now at 71 different churches since I became president. Billy Lambert told me, get out in the churches. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. I want you to know it's not just happening on our campus. There are churches in Alabama. There are churches in Florida. There are churches in Georgia. There are churches in Tennessee. There are churches in Mississippi where people are coming to the Lord. And they're coming to the Lord because of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. despite all the efforts to find folks' image in something other than the image of God, God's gospel is making a difference every day. Let's see. Is my clicker working? To black? What? Okay. Down? I'm sorry. I should have. That's okay. Which you want? Oh. But that's not working.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work.
That's the way it's supposed to work? I wonder if it's on. That's the laser. Okay. Oh, did that work? Okay. How do I go backwards? That's cool. All right. Let's start at the beginning. All right. Are you ready? All right. Here we go. We're going to run through it again. Make your career ministry. Everybody does that. This is the topic for tonight, God's image. We're having a spiritual awakening on our campus. 35 football players were baptized on August the 7th. 57 students have been baptized the entire semester. All right, some of you that were Summerdale, you saw this slide while I was there. The slide on the left represents a My Truth, Your Truth world. A world where people are confused about their identities. A world where the truth may not be the truth, but it's really defined, I guess, by what the person thinks truth may be, whatever that may be. The world on the right represents God's world of truth. We'll talk about that for a little bit. I want to key in on the first one there. My identity is what I want it to be. Some people think, well, there's never been a time in the history of the earth where people have wanted to change their identities and seek their own identities and be what they want to be. And, you know, that's rebellion to God. You know, this is something new. Folks, it's not new. That confusion is a lie from the devil. And we're going to prove that tonight while we study together. All of those things that you read there, those sayings are consistent with what Pontius Pilate said to Jesus Christ right before Pontius Pilate turned Jesus over to be murdered. And that was, Jesus said, I came to give testimony to the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? That's what a My Truth, Your Truth world is based on. What's a truth world based on? Well, there's one God. He created us in whose image? His image. Every one of those statements there are from Scripture. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So tonight I want to talk about three aspects of being in the image of God. First of all, God's image is a maker-creator image. Man has a distorted image of himself and of God. And there is a way for the image of God and the correct image of man being made in the image of God to be restored. So we're going to look at these three thoughts tonight and get to a world that is defined by God. So the maker world. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all... That's my favorite part there. See, I'm a cowboy. Grew up on a farm. Grew up on a dairy farm, actually. That's why I became a lawyer. I didn't like getting up at 1 or 2 in the morning to milk cows every day. Figured there's got to be a better way to make a living. All right? So have dominion over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God is the maker. That is the image of God. He is the creator. In addition to that, there we go. In addition to that, God created man in his image, his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Biden administration, through the Department of Education, issued new rules regarding Title IX. Title IX describes who is eligible for financial aid and makes non-discrimination based on gender an important part or the core of non-discrimination. So if you have male athletic teams on a campus, you better have female athletic teams as well that are well-funded like your male teams. That's what Title IX is about. Works the same for educational programs. No discrimination based on gender. The Biden administration last year redefined gender to no longer be male and female. It was redefined to be however it's defined, LGBTQ, X plus, whatever. Yes, that is codified in the Code of Federal Regulations. Sometimes I scratch my head and ask God, why did you make me as a lawyer the president of a Christian school? Maybe for such a time as this. When I became president, Faulkner did not have a religious exemption under Title IX. But guess what? Before the Biden administration changed that rule, and we saw it coming, Faulkner now has a full-fledged religious exemption under Title IX so that, God willing, until somebody else changes the laws, we can still define gender as a male and a female. Thank you, God, for how you work things out. Also, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. That is how we are created in God's image. Genesis 1, 20, 27. God's image is a maker. God's image is a creator. So he's our maker and creator. How does this work for us? Well, God delegates his authority to humans. Who's going to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and the cattle, and milk the cows at 1 o'clock? It's going to be dad and the children. And maybe the wife sometimes, like my mom had to do. We're going to have dominion over those creatures. God provides authority with a choice. We're not robots, are we? God made us with human brains and common sense so that we can make decisions over what's right and what is wrong. And he did that for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know that because he put this tree there and he told them, don't eat from this particular tree. And when you do eat from this tree, the result will be that you will die. Okay? So they knew right and wrong, right? Well, God gives us a divine purpose. He told Adam and Eve, you take care of these things. That's part of what you do. Okay? You have a divine purpose. And later on, throughout Scripture, God defines what that divine purpose is for us. So, there was shared authority. It comes with a choice. Mankind was given a command. Satan lied. Satan lied to Eve. And what did Satan say to her? He said, if you eat this fruit, you won't die. And not only that, you will be like God, dot, dot, dot. And how did he say you'll be like God? You Bible scholars, would you remember? You'll be like God knowing what? Both good and evil. But guess what? They already were like God. Because the Scripture said that we just read that they were made in whose image? God's image. It's a lie because they already knew right and wrong. Eve knew that it was wrong. And Adam knew it was wrong to eat from that fruit, from that tree. Satan lied. So, the wrong choice had consequences. It had bad consequences. It did. Today, we have a distorted self-image. We misinterpret our common image with God's image today. And when young people or older people, it doesn't matter, when they feel like I can define my own identity, I can define my own destiny, or I can do this act that I know is wrong and I can get by with it, and it's really not wrong, even though God said it's wrong, when we assert ourselves into that place of God's authority, we get in trouble. We get in trouble. We have problems and issues, don't we? So Satan says, determine your own identity, determine your own destiny, and when you do that, you are like God. And you think about it, folks, it's rebellion. When we want to be like God, when those amongst us want to be like God, and you know, if you don't know any better, a lot of folks feel like that's just the way to go. Obviously, there's got to be something that fulfills me and satisfies me in some way. So, God says instead, you are made in my image. And so the antidote for us and our frustrations and seeing young people and older people that want to create their own identity, that want to live in rebellion, that want to have their own authority in opposition to God, the cure for it is not to be mad about it. The cure for it is not to talk about how awful they are and to demonize folks. The cure for it is to remind people simply, you're made in the image of God. You don't have to change your gender. You're made in the image of God. You don't have to rebel against God. You are already fearfully and wonderfully made. You are already created in the image of God to live, to work, to be fruitful and multiply, to have dominion over all of God's creation, and it's beautiful. You don't have to change it. And it's that security in knowing that you're in the image of God that young people are hungry for. They're so hungry for it. So, boy, that's a hard slide to read. We'll have to fix that one. Woo, boy. Common image restored by Jesus. Man, I'm going to have to read from my printout, you know. I've got a wonderful, wonderful assistant. It looks great on the computer screen on my laptop, I'm telling you. Got a wonderful assistant. She printed this out for me. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 18. Let's read this together. Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 18. Very important scripture. If it's not underlined in your Bible, it needs to be. Colossians 1, 13 through 18. Paul says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. So how do we let Jesus restore our image? Well, we put off the bad stuff. All these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of our mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Christ is all and in all. Instead, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you all must also must do. But above all these things, put on what? Put on what? Love. Yeah. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the bond of perfection. People who live a life where they show love to other folks, that's who people want to be like. And that's what we're called to do. So let's compare Adam and Jesus. Adam and Jesus. Adam was the first man to sin. Jesus was the first man to be sinless for all mankind. Adam was the first man to bring death. Jesus was the first man to overcome death for mankind. Adam was the first man to experience shame. Remember when they ate the fruit, what did they realize? They were what? Starts with an N. Y'all said that louder than anything else I asked you tonight. Come on now. Adam was the first man to experience shame. Jesus was the first man to experience shame for all mankind because they took his clothes and gambled it away and nailed him to a cross. Adam became a living soul. Jesus became a life-giving spirit. This next scripture explains that from 1 Corinthians. The last verse there, for just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. This image of God extends through His Son, Jesus Christ, to us. So to be restored to God's image, the way for us to do that is through who? Through Jesus. That's how we have our image restored. So, from the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, thus also is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, that's Adam, made of earth. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. As the one who is made of earth, so also are those who are made of earth. And as the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And look at the last one, it's underlined completely. Just as we have borne the image of the one who is made of earth, that's Adam, listen to this, we will also bear the image of the heavenly, and that is Jesus. The question for us tonight is, do you bear the image of Jesus Christ? The reason we had 57 baptisms on our campus at Faulkner University is because those young people realized that they needed to bear the image of Jesus. They realized they needed to be connected with Jesus. How do they get connected with Jesus? So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have done what? Clothe yourselves with Christ. We have taken on the image of Christ. When we die to self and sin, are buried like Jesus was buried in a tomb and raised with Jesus after baptism to walk in newness of life. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, I want you to go back in your minds to the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve sinned and they ate the fruit, they realized they were the N-word. They were naked, okay? And they were ashamed. They hid themselves. Do you remember what they tried to put on to start with? Fig leaves. All right, raise your hand if you pick figs. Where's my fig-picking folks? All right, you know what scratchy fig leaves are like. Were fig leaves a good choice for Adam and Eve? No. And so, what did God do? He made them clothes, remember? Do you remember what He made them out of? Animal skins. Now, you hunters, you know, if you skin an animal, that animal's not out there walking around anymore. Now, what did that animal do to deserve to die and to lose its skin? Not a thing. Innocent animal. There is a connection between what happened in Eden and what happens to us. Y'all, bear with me for just a minute. To cover the shame of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God had to make them clothes from an innocent animal. When the animal was skinned, it shed its innocent blood. And that animal was used to clothe Adam and Eve to take away the shame of their sin. what other innocent being in the New Testament shed his innocent blood, gave up his innocent life, so that we could be clothed with him to cover our sin and take away our shame. You can't make this up, folks. I'm not going to click any more slides. It's time to go home. Y'all have been a wonderful audience. I hope that what I've shared with you helps you connect with your faith. This is the gospel that we're teaching on our campus. This is the gospel that is bringing about a spiritual awakening in the churches of Christ. It's this gospel that you obeyed, you who are Christians who've come to the Lord. And if you have not obeyed that, now's the time for you to do that. If you have a need, whether it is for prayer or for to put Christ on and be clothed with Him in baptism, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?